The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There were three people coming out of Mass one day, not here at Jesus, our risen Savior, huh? And the first one said, "Boy, the choir was terrible, huh? They couldn't hold a note. I'm not talking about you, huh? You're doing great." And the second person, as they were leaving the church, said, "Oh, that priest's sermon was long drawn out and boring. He was monotone." And the third person said, "Well, you have to admit, it wasn't really that bad of a show for a buck." We are unprofitable. Anyway, what is the opposite of faith? Come on, you can yell out your answers. Despair, disbelief, what else? Huh? Emptiness, doubt. I was waiting for that doubt. That took a long time in coming out. No, but really, the doubt is the opposite of certainty. I think, and I agree, this comes from a modern-day spiritual author, the opposite of faith is control. No. Yeah, I heard somebody go, "Oh, that makes sense." Have you ever seen $1 million? No, I don't think we have any millionaires here today. No. But you know that it does exist. That's one of the classic arguments that it's repeated over and over again. Huh? Have you ever seen God? No, but we know he exists with faith. But the question is, so what? So what? $1 million does exist. So what? God does exist. But now, so what? And I think to answer that so what is one word: relationship. Everybody wants a relationship with $1 million, right? Who doesn't? No. I do, even with a vow of poverty. I do, because then we could build a bigger church, a gymnasium, a soccer field. We could do so many good things with $1 million. We want that relationship with it. But now, do we really want a relationship with God? Let's be honest, huh? Do we really want a relationship with God? Think about it. You and your boss, you know, for those of you who work or are retired, who worked, know what it's like to have a boss, right? And your relationship with a boss is not really a relationship. It's a contract, huh? You do X, Y, and Z, and I'll give you your paycheck every two, three, whatever, every whenever, okay? You have control over that relationship. You have control over that contract. If you work up to it, you get paid. Huh? You do what you have to do, and boom, the paycheck is yours. Wouldn't it be great if our relationship with God and one another was as simple as that? As black and white as that? To sign a contract with a simple equation saying maybe we'll go to confession every Saturday and Mass every Sunday, and that's it. Wouldn't it be great if we had that much control in working out our salvation? There would be no need for the gray areas. There would be no need for forgiveness, humility, service, openness, humility. If we have this mentality, brothers and sisters, then we are those unprofitable servants that the Lord mentions in the gospel today. We have reduced our faith not to a mustard seed, because a mustard seed has potential to grow, but we have reduced our faith to an equation. Saturday confession plus Sunday Mass equals salvation. Equations make us feel good, huh? And I'm not saying that because I'm Asian. I'm bad at math, period. They make us feel good because an equation is like those videos. You know those videos that go viral now on YouTube or Facebook where somebody cuts a piece of fruit and they do it so perfectly, it's so satisfying. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Somebody makes some sort of geometric shape, somebody paints something, and they do it so perfectly that it's satisfying. They become pros at it. No? It's so satisfying to watch those videos. Huh? They're all equal parts, all same shapes, all perfect. We are in control because we've mastered it. Huh? But our faith is meant to be messy. The cross is not something that's nice and neat. Look at the crucifix. There's blood, there's gore, there's pain, there's suffering. Oh, our faith is meant to be messy, not just black and white, not just a simple equation. Our faith is meant to look like that. And so, where do we find security? Go through this week and ask yourself, where am I in control of my life? Is it all in the profit that we've saved up in the bank? Is it in our insurance policy? Is it on the number of friends we have on Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat, whatever that is? Do these things give us a sense of control? Do these things allow us to play God sometimes in some parts of our lives? I mean, it's good to have something saved up so that we're secure. It's good to have an insurance policy, but we can't fail to trust God still. We can't fail to still trust God. And that's, the hardest part. We religious, we take four vows, but most religious communities, they take three vows: poverty, chastity, and obedience. No, poverty, that's easy. Everything you need is provided for you by the community. Chastity, you get used to that eventually. But obedience, my Lord. No? Sometimes I raise up my hands in the air and I say, Lord, why can't I have control of my life? No? But the thing is, it is through this vow that we learn to trust God. Trust. Today the church honors a saint, one of my favorites, Saint Bruno. Saint Bruno was the founder of the Carthusian order, and they're known for their chartreuse. Have you ever heard chartreuse? Not the color, but the liqueur. It's very good. Try it. They're known for that. They make that over in the Alps in France. But Saint Bruno and the Carthusians, well, the Carthusians he founded, is one of the strictest religious communities in the church. They say, never reformed because never deformed. They still live the same way that St. Bruno lived. There's only one monastery of them here in the United States in Vermont. Their motto. The motto of the Carthusians is this: stands the cross, still point of a turning world. In other words, the cross stands still while the world is constantly changing. No. Think of the past 2,000 years. How many isms, how many ideologies, how many dictators, how many emperors, how many kings, how many fads, how many trends have come and gone. And yet the cross stands still, the same, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where do we find our security? Is it in our own selves? Is it in our ego? Or do we cling to Jesus? Let's cling to Jesus, you know, because if we cling to Him, we will truly be like these profitable servants. who know how to risk, who know how to forgive, who know how to extend mercy, who don't do just what they're supposed to do, the bare minimum. We turn with trust to the Lord this week, asking Him to help us to trust Him, to teach us to how to let go, to teach us how to let God be God. You know, that window in the Adoration Chapel is so beautiful. You know? Be still and know that I am God. How often we are not still because we're afraid that we're going to lose control, because it feels good to be in control. But trust me, it feels even better when God is control, because things work out a heck of a lot better. Huh? And so we trust in the Lord. Amen.